This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we are, together, on music's biggest night, celebrating the artists that do it best. But to be honest with you, we're all feeling crazy sadness right now. Because earlier today, Los Angeles, America, and the whole wide world lost a hero. And we're literally standing here heartbroken in the house that Kobe Bryant built.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was Alicia Keys. They apparently had a moment of silence for Kobe before the actual television broadcast began, and that is how she opened up the Grammys last night. She was hosting it. We are delighted to welcome in Kendall Gill. He, of course, doing great work with NBC Sports Chicago covering the Bulls, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Kendall, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kendall.
Doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right. You know, it was a shock to learn that Kobe Bryant had passed, and we were talking about how, you know, you kind of recall exactly where you were. It was one of those horror stories, and, you know, as a parent yourself, I think that that's what really is driven home, that he lost a daughter and that his other daughters will not have a father. You know, that really jumps out at you when you have kids.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I was, you know, so out of it yesterday, because, you know, when I heard the news, a friend of mine texted me and told me that, and I was actually walking out of training my sons yesterday before that game, and you know, my wife called me in the car, and I just told her, you know, I can't talk right now. I'll talk to you when I get home. So, you know, I thought about his family, Gianna, who was with him in the helicopter crash, and it's just a terrible, terrible thing. And you know, you just mentioned, like, you knew where you were when you heard the news. You know, and I've had a couple of guys that I was friends with, and, you know, pass away. The first one was Hank Gathers when he passed away. Mm. When I was in college, I was friends with Hank. We were roommates at the Playboy All-American shoot down in Orlando before our senior year in college. Another one was Reggie Lewis, was a friend of mine I competed against, and you know, I knew exactly where I was I can remember exactly where I was when I heard the news with them. Lenny Bias, when he passed away, you know, it's just a horrible, horrible feeling right now. The whole basketball community is just in shock. You know, I was watching all of the news and yesterday, and on Instagram, I saw all the players who shed tears for Kobe, and you know, it's just, and even though we compete against each other, you know, we compete against each other at the high school, we hate each other when we're on the court, we're still a fraternity, you know, and when something like this happens to one of us, the whole family feels it. You know, and we've had fraternity brothers pass away before, but this one is different, you know, because it's like you never think that Superman will die, you know, and that's what Kobe Bryant was for a generation. you know, after Michael retired, you know, the torch was passed to Kobe. And, you know, it's just, I can't imagine what his family is going through right now, you know, because I'm still in shock, actually, you know. And it's just a sad day for the NBA, sad day for the country, sad day for, and Kobe was an international citizen. You saw the outpouring of support that he got last night from all over the world.
Kendall, your 15-year career began in 1990 with Michael Jordan in the league, and you ended in 2005. And so you kind of, Kobe and Michael, you played against both of them. In 2000, when you flirted with the idea of joining the Lakers, was Kobe involved? What was it like to play against him as a competitor? And the similarities between him and Jordan were obvious and by design, because that's what he wanted to mimic.
Yeah, I did have the opportunity to join the Lakers, and you know, I was actually on my way to the press conference before, you know, the Nets made me an offer. I was in L.A., and when I changed my mind and decided to go back and think, Kobe and Shaq called me and said, you know, we really want you to join the team. You know, eventually, you know, I made the business decision and took the deal with the New Jersey Nets. But, you know, I've always, even after I signed the deal, I've always regretted their decision. I could have played with two NBA greats, probably been a three-time NBA champion, you know, and I thought about that a lot yesterday when he had passed away, you know, that I could have been his teammate and got to know him even more than I know him now. You know, as far as the similarities with Michael, you know, he was a carbon copy of Michael. He didn't reinvent the wheel. He took the blueprint and made himself into one of the greatest players of all time. And, you know, through hard work and dedication, he had a maniacal focus to the game. And, you know, I can remember when I was with New Jersey, I used to get to the games early to shoot around, but especially, I mean, every game. But, you know, when we were in L.A. Or when we were in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at Continental Airlines Arena, I would get there early for anybody else, and Kobe would always be there whenever we played the Lakers and, you know, shooting around. So, you know, it would just sometimes be him and me on the court together shooting around and, you know, with a ball boy or something. And then, you know, we would sit down after we shot and rap a little bit and talk. And, you know, beautiful guy off the court. You know, you would never know that because of, you know, how he was on the court, because of he was so focused and he was such a competitor. But, you know, outside of basketball, you got a chance to talk to him, and, you know, he's just a normal, nice guy, man. But the guy that you saw after he retired, that's really the way he was.
You know, it's difficult to move on, but obviously that's what the league did yesterday, and that's what that everyone has to do. The Bulls are hosting the Spurs tonight, and they will not have Lauri Markkanen. In fact, they won't have him for a long time. I know it's announced that he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. I was saying, you know, a stress reaction in the right pelvis, that could be that, you know, we might not see him back, period. I don't know that that you can look at it like, oh, well, you know, in a month he'll be back. He might miss the rest of the season. How does that damage them, and how does that explain what went wrong with Lauri this year?
Well, you know, it damages the Bulls big time because, you know, Lauri, yes, he was struggling this year, but, you know, I felt like he had a couple games there where he put together that where he was coming around. You know, he had the oblique injury, he had the ankle injury, and now the stress reaction in the hip. And, you know, they shut him down. I mean, Lauri could still play if it were the playoffs, but, you know, when you have an injury like that, you want to be preventative, and in today's NBA, that's exactly what they do. Now, as far as the Bulls are concerned, you know, it's going to be difficult because now Zach is going to really be a one-man game, you know, because unless somebody else really
stepped up. You know, I think Zach has done a tremendous job of doing that. The other night against, I believe, the Sacramento Kings, Zach came out, and you could tell he was kind of down and out in the first half. He got it together in the second half. But, you know, he faced double, triple teams. But, you know, against Cleveland, he comes back with 44 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and he figured it out. So, you're going to see a lot of that, you know, and hopefully it will turn into some wins for the Bulls. You know, I think that Larry probably will be out for the season, because once he's out for a month, I think the Bulls' record will be that, where they will be able to challenge for the 7th, 8th spot in the playoffs. And they're going to look to his long-term future. But, you know, let's just keep our fingers crossed that Zach gets in the All-Star game. I know that, you know, the odds are against him, but he certainly played like an All-Star. And with the game here in Chicago, you know, I think that the Bulls need to be represented. I know there's a lot of talk. I know there's a lot of talk about Bradley Beal being in the All-Star game, but if you look at Zach, when he played him recently, he outdueled Bradley Beal, outscored him, and they won the game. And the way Zach comes back with the 44-point game the other night, I mean, he's just been playing lights out. So, and the dunk contest is here, you know. So if you want Zach Levine at all in the dunk contest, you better give him an All-Star selection.
Kendall, the Bulls back in action tonight against the Spurs at the United Center. The United Center was lit up to pay tribute to Kobe last night. I thought that was a really nice tribute. You look around the league, and Mark Cuban is going to retire 24 in his honor for the Dallas Mavericks. There might be other teams that follow suit. There might be a league-wide sort of mandate. You just don't know. In that context, I guess, in the terms of paying tribute and honoring Kobe Bryant's memory, were you surprised the league played yesterday? Do you think that those games should have gone on as scheduled?
I was surprised, yeah, that the games went on. But, you know, I was pleased with the tribute that they gave him, you know, the 24-second clock violation and the 8-second half-court violation. You know, if they weren't going to cancel the games, I'm glad that they did that, you know. You know, I think was it Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus who said the show must go on? Well, yeah, the show has to go on, you know, and even though our hearts were filled with sadness yesterday, I think if the commissioner thought about what I just said and said, you know, the show's got to go on, we got to keep going, that's what Kobe Bryant would have wanted, and you know, that's what they did.
Hey, Kendall, we'll let you go. Congratulations on the Illini. That was a huge victory over Michigan. And my God, they're really moving up in the world.
Hey, Ray, listen, things are turning around for Illini Athletics. We got a boom this season. And, you know, we're back in the rankings on top of the Big Ten right now. It looks like we're going to get an NCAA berth. So, you know, I'm out of the silver lining out of what happened yesterday for me is that Illinois is starting to come back. And, you know, I'm happy for Coach Underwood. I'm happy for the Illini fans. And, you know, hopefully we can keep this going, guys.
Thanks a ton, Kendall. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kendall.
Okay, thank you.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.